Hello, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, Greg.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jeffrey.
We are drinking what I was drinking all evening, and this is the Founders, a growler of Founders Backwoods Bastard, which is their, is it their old ale or their scotch ale? I think it's their old ale.
Tastes like an old ale.
And this one is Backwoods, as in Kentucky, as in bourbon, as in bourbon barrel aged. Has a great vanilla flavor to it. It's a tasty beer. I'd be interested to see what Greg thinks as he works his way through, because he doesn't like the big oaked beers. And this is kind of a big oaked beer, big bourbon beer.
The first taste was a little off because, yeah, I mean, the big oaky and the big woody flavors hit me. But I then got the vanilla that Jeff was talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's nice and strong vanilla. It's good. It's a little sweet.
I had this fresh on draft at Pizza Daddy's last weekend. Pizza Daddy's. It's over in Gibsonia. It's right near Nautico. And
if only they had that when we were working there.
Had a pint of it. And what you just said was my first thought. I'm like, oh, this is going to be way too sweet to finish a full pint of this thing. But it kind of leveled off and you got used to it. Didn't get cloying. So it definitely has a good balance to it, I found. So I'm curious to see if you go the same.
I have in my car, and we'll say this for the post show. Do you happen to have a lemon?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I
have Miracle Fruit in my car. Well, the Miracle Fruit tablets in my car.
Probably do not have a lemon. I can go check, but I don't. I have lime juice. Maybe some lemon juice, but I don't think I have lemon.
That'll work. I mean, it's interesting how it doesn't turn off sour completely, but it definitely makes it sweeter.
Okay.
It's sort of like a slightly sour orange.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely does the job. It doesn't change things drastically.
I think maybe we'd want to line up a bunch of things to try. You know, like have a tasting lined up before we actually, instead of doing.
Well, I can get more. It's not a problem. Okay. I only have two things left because at the party I was at last week. That's why I didn't have a show last week, because I was at a party. I kind of played around with, like, there was only 10 tablets, and I played around with 8 of them. But I'll get more. Mm-hmm. But I just have 2 left, so, I mean, we might as well enjoy it.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. So is it crazy?
No, that's the thing about it. It's not really crazy. And in fact, beer didn't taste all that different. It was most surprising on the things like on the sour stuff. And even then, it wasn't like the sour was gone. It was just, it was there, but it was much more muted. And all these other things came out. So
did you, like, what did you try? Like lemons, obviously.
Lemons. Yeah. I mean, you were able to, you did not pucker at all when eating a lemon. It was, you know, pretty fascinating. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Lemons, beer, a little bit of wine. Some things, like there were some cheesy stuff, but that wouldn't change that much.
You know, I'm thinking tomatoes, vinegar. Kind of want to see how those are affected.
You have those, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll line up a mini tour, and then we'll do a bigger one.
Yeah, later. I'm just thinking, like, you know, what's sour? Well, acetic acid sour.
Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes are acidic, right? So that's playing the same thing, even though some tomatoes can be fairly sweet. What else would I have on hand or would be in my wish list? Does it predominantly just affect sour?
Sour and bitter.
Sour and bitter. Vegemite.
We'll play with it.
I thought it did something with spicy, too, but maybe not.
I don't think so. We can play around with it a little bit. But, I mean, I don't want you prepared to be, like, blown away. It doesn't shut everything off. It just mutes things, you know. It makes things lower volume. We were just talking before the show started about this questionable Mars rover discovery that will, they say, rock the science world or change the way we look at Mars, or one for the history books. I forget exactly how they put it.
One for the history books was one of the quotes. Yeah. I heard it, you know, the one story I heard was on NPR, and Scott Pelka?
No idea.
Guy that does the, you know, he's one of the science beat writers for NPR. He, you know, and he was setting up an interview with one of the principal investigators for Curiosity. And while he's setting up the microphone, the guy's looking at the monitor. He's like, holy shit. Like, it came in right then, you know, but like he, you know, wouldn't tell. Well, at least not on the record, wouldn't tell the reporter, you know, what was going on.
And, and the reason why they're not telling is because they're trying to double and triple confirm it. But I also think that they're not saying because it's not groundbreaking, smash. They haven't discovered a fossil or anything.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction, and I'm putting this on the air, this is Thursday, the 26th of November, 2012, Thanksgiving night. My prediction is that they discovered simple organic molecules, and perhaps simple organic molecules that have a parity.
Okay, so explain that for everyone, including me. Right. So how far is that from, like, amino acids or, you know?
Amino acids are built from proteins, and proteins are built from simple organic molecules. We've already discovered things like acetic acid in space. That would be something that I would be now we would find. When, for example, the Miller-Urey experiment, where they sort of made a atmosphere and put a little electricity into it and made simple amino acids from it. So they discovered that you could do that in under laboratory conditions if you, you know, put energy into an organic soup, basically, and it could construct organic acids. But there was no parity to them. For all, we use all left-handed, left-parity proteins, and we can't use right-parity proteins. So that the question is how did that happen? And I think that there's some theories that these molecules came from asteroids and they were exposed to polarized light, and that may have destroyed one of the parities. Possible. You know, just out there. But I think that they may have discovered simple organic compounds on Mars. Does that mean there's life there? No. Does that mean that they were deposited by life? No. If they find it in abundance, and if they find them of a certain parity, then that means that either there was some life there, or whatever deposited them there is of a certain parity, and then that gives a better excuse for why we use only left parity, or why someone, maybe only right parity there. That's just my assumption as to what they found, because they haven't announced it yet, so it's not, they didn't find life. I don't think Sam could find life, but I do think it can find organics.
Could have jumped up in front of the camera and said, booga, booga, booga.
Yeah. Well, the camera, yeah. So that's my guess.
It's interesting. I don't have a guess, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, maybe my guess would have been, you know, well, Sam is the
sample analysis at Mars.
Right. So this is a little laboratory thing where you drop a sample into a vial, either soil or gas or whatever, and it runs
alpha X-ray spectrometry. And
yeah, so it can tell what elements.
Neutron albedo. There's a bunch of different things they do.
You can tell what compounds, elements, and stuff are in there. So yeah, it's not like they saw a fossil of
It's chemical analysis. Yeah, this comes from Sam, and it's pure chemical analysis. So yeah, they haven't discovered fossils. You know, if they find like methane, that would be a pretty big shocker, because methane shouldn't be able to exist for very long.
Well, they already thought, you know, they had a case where Sam showed methane. And they double-checked it because they thought it might have been a trace left from Earth, and it turns out they couldn't verify that methane sample. So,
now, what else is going on? So, yeah, I just got back from Thanksgiving dinner. You just got back from Thanksgiving dinner. We're doing it today because I moved my cheat day ahead 2 days so that I could eat Thanksgiving dinner. But that means my next cheat day is going to be 9 days from now.
Don't even think about that.
Oh, well, it's all right. I can live.
Just don't even think about how far away it is. Just say next Saturday.
I actually have to start trying to move it a little bit because I want to have it to be on Tuesday on the 25th so I can go to the Christmas dinner.
Oh, okay.
Then. So I have to then, you know, after Saturday, if you're okay with it, maybe I can move it to Sundays for 2 weeks just to, or at least 1 week, just mm-hmm. to push it. And then I can push it another day and push it to Tuesday. They have to be, I mean, the rule is at least 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I you know, if you can't do it, can't do it. And I, you know, I'll take stuff home. That was the plan. The plan was actually for me, for this today not to be a cheat day. Now I just take stuff home and eat them on Saturday. But Jeff,
that just doesn't sound like any fun. I mean,
I could still eat the turkey, right?
Oh, okay.
There were a few things that I could pick out that I could eat, so it wouldn't have been impossible. I wouldn't have been able to drink. This was the least I've ever had at Thanksgiving that I can remember. I can't eat that much. Mm-hmm. These are the problems. These drinks are the problem. Because you can just keep drinking and drinking and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Last Saturday at the party, you know, I drank a lot and I got home and I drank some more. And I didn't eat a lot, but man, did I drink, and I paid for it the next day. I felt terrible. And my body was just trying to expel as much of it as possible. Mm-hmm. And so I kept drinking water and then I kept pooping and peeing the entire day.
Yeah, I've had days like that. This is a hard job, this whole beer podcast thing. The things we do for the listeners.
Yeah, well, poor us.
Wah. Oh, what else is going on?
So we both had big meals, so we've got the tired in us.
Yeah, it might be like a 2 or 3 beer show.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do those Dortmunders and Helleses and stuff. We got like 3 of those. Let's just do those tonight.
That'd be fine.
Sounds good to me too.
Yeah.
TV, what's up with TV? Anything?
I haven't really been watching much. Okay. I just got done with the project at work that was the best project I had at work so far. Because the first project I had was kind of a learning project, and I had to learn everything and my way around the system. And the second project I had was still more learning, took me a lot less time to get through it. But I wasn't sure of sometimes the questions to ask. This one, knew my way around the system, and I was able to I learned this new language to do some of the stuff on this new ERP application, and every time, and this was different than the other ones because I was the one who found all the problems. I was going through it, and I said, "Wait, what if this happens?" And I had to ask around, like, "Oh no, you're right, that needs to change." And then I was like, "All right." And I would just sit at my desk, boom, 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 and figure out a solution to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the one who kept coming up with the issues. Like, oh, what if this particular instance happens? Oh, you do have to account for that. What if this happens? Oh, you do have to account for that. So I guess, I don't know, for some reason it was easier when I was figuring out the problems as opposed to when other people were figuring out the problems. Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was like, I was saying, hey, wait a minute, what about that? And figuring out, oh, yeah, okay, so I have to do this weird math thing for that and this for that. Yeah, and it turned out to be a very fun project and done in less than a week earlier than it should have been. So, yeah.
Cool. I'm busy as hell at work. We're looking for a new person, and I'm picking up the slack, I mean, yeah, it's... I'm like, oh boy, 4 days off for me to work on closing out some help desk tickets because there's not going to be very many coming in because most people are off. I get 4 days of vacation to catch up on work.
Yay. Oh, your life. At least you have your kids.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so I don't get. It's not like I'm, you know, spending 4 full days because, yeah, absolutely, the kids take up most of the daylight hours. Mm-hmm. And Craft Beer Radio is going to take up another 3 hours, but I'm not going to, not in the mood to do much work tonight anyway.
Yeah, I've been drinking
Backwoods Bastard all day. Or at least since dinner. Mm. Oh, I had something else. What was it?
So I tried.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
They sometimes at work when we do our meetings on Tuesday, they got into the habit of me explaining physics things, and it started with the Higgs boson, and
so what, like at the end of the team meeting?
Yeah, the team meeting is over, and people are like, you know, because there's still some time left on the calendar. People are like, Greg, do you have anything to show us? So, I showed them how Einstein came up with E equals MC squared last time.
Cool.
So yeah. So not his paper on relativity. It's important to know his paper, his first paper on relativity on the electrodynamics of. On the something of moving bodies, on the, I think it was electrodynamics, but it might be something different. That's his paper. He came up with relativity, and then he took that and used that as a consequence and figured out mass energy equivalence from that. Mm. But the really cool thing about mass energy equivalence is he actually put in his paper what it really meant, and it means this, and I'll write it down for Jeff.
Lurg equals 1 over 9 times 10 to the 20th.
Yeah. One erg. Is 1 over 9 times 10 to the 20 grams. So 10 to the 20 is mm-hmm. number big 1 with number. 20 zeros after it. Times, so 9 of those. One erg, which is about a mosquito hitting a wall. That's how much energy that is. About 600 something mega electron volts.
So it's a small piece, small amount of energy, but it's a ridiculously small amount of mass
to
be converted into that much energy.
So that's why, like, 1 gram of matter, if you convert it to energy, is like a couple kilotons. It's you know, it's mm-hmm. huge.
What's how did an erg get defined?
What is an erg? Like I said, it's about 600 mega electron volts, and I think it's like a column over a centimeter. Something like that. In his paper, that was the definition. That was when he came up with... He actually put it as E over C squared equals M.
An erg is a unit of energy in the mechanical work. The amount of work done by the force of one dyne exerted for the distance of 1 centimeter. Okay, so a dyne.
Is that an official SI unit? The dyne?
Is a unit of force in the centigram second system of units. Predecessor of the modern SI. Mm-hmm. 1 dyne is equal to 10 micronewtons.
Well, there you go. Anyway, the point is that's your conversion factor. So you can see how a very small amount of mass can be an extremely large amount of energy.
Oh, okay. A dyne is the force required to accelerate 1 gram... at a rate of 1 centimeter per second per 1 centimeter per second squared.
Okay.
Or a mosquito hitting a wall.
Or a mosquito hitting a wall, yeah. Roughly that.
What do mosquitoes hit walls?
I don't know. Well, I assume they land on walls. So does a mosquito hit a wall at full speed? It could hit a window, I guess.
Do they? Raindrops don't hit mosquitoes because the high pressure around the raindrop pushes them out of the way.
The raindrops, that's because raindrops are falling.
Right. So a windshield would be the same kind of thing. There'd be a slipstream in front of the windshield.
But no, but a window, I'm saying.
A window.
Like on your, like in your house, if a mosquito is flying. Mm-hmm. But a mosquito doesn't see the world the same way we do, so it wouldn't necessarily see a window as...
Transparent.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. If you accelerate a mosquito to its to a mosquito average accelerator
and you throw it into a wall. Mosquito accelerator. That's some good science right there.
You're talking about a lot more expensive than the LHC. And more dangerous. Can you imagine if all those... You know, because the LHC, what they do is, you know, when they dump their protons, they just fire it off into a wall, basically into granite. And if they did that with their mosquito beam...
You have to clean up a lot more mosquito gunk. They don't decay the same way.
No. Well, they do decay. It's just not as pretty.
All right, what do you say we get on to the show?
Let's do it.